Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Three of our networks today. We're on the Female Solution Blog Talk channel, and we're on our American Muslim 360 Blog Talk channel, and we're on the On Air Radio Network. So, of course, we can also see and hear you on our Facebook and YouTube channel, The Female Solution. And we're excited because we get an opportunity to speak to our global family every day. Well, today we're going to honor a woman who is honoring people as a way of life. She is the founder of the Mahogany Heritage Foundation, which honors leaders locally, nationally, and internationally who are bringing dignity, honor, and respect to our his culture. This is an important thing because so many of our young people don't get the information as to who people are right in their midst. So we're going to take a quick break and come right back and we'll introduce to some of you who have not yet met her, Miss Mary Swokes, founder of the Mahogany Heritage Foundation, and they'll be honoring leaders at the 26th annual celebration this coming Sunday. So if you haven't got your ticket yet, you're in and around the Chicagoland area, you need to be there. We'll be right back after this quick break, so stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be right back with Mary Swokes and the Mahogany Heritage Foundation and our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family and the On Air Radio Network. So we'll be right back. Stay with us.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Afar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360, inviting you to join us every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. for Narrative Aspirations. Believe in yourself and you will find a creative innovation that will ease your mind. Educate yourself. What path will you take? Will you be wise in the decisions you make? Set your standards high. Don't settle for less. You have the power to be the best. You will succeed. You have what it takes. Make your intentions and step out on faith. Knowledge is power. Wisdom supreme. Success inevitable with a well-balanced routine. Exercise, eat healthy. Keep your mind and body pure. You will be amazed at what you endure. Be assertive when it comes to your life, because no one else will do it just right. Unlock the door. You have the keys in yourself. You must believe. Join us again for Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host Kareem Hamid. Has our co-host joined us?
Yes, I'm with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Unmuted.
Naima Latif.
Yes, there we are. Okay.
Yes, I'm here. A wonderful day.
All right.
Yeah. Every day is a wonderful day, period.
Every day is a wonderful day. Well, we're so excited because we get a chance to recognize somebody who is giving us real insight about who in our midst is worthy of honor and recognition. Mary Swokes, founder of the Mahogany Foundation, the Mahogany Heritage Foundation, is our guest today, and she's got an event that you need to be at if you are not, if you are in and around the Chicagoland area. I want to just take a trip on down. But this will be held this Sunday, April 28th, 2024, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Chicago History Museum at 1601 North Clark Street in Chicago. And this event, sponsored by the Mahogany Heritage Foundation, will honor outstanding leaders such as Congressman Danny K. Davis and Mayor Brandon Johnson and business owner and philanthropist Spencer Leake and publisher Oluwale Idris and a number of other prominent figures, both past and present, and Mary Swope, who is founder of the Mahogany Heritage Foundation. Of course, as you see, been doing this for 26 years and more. She joins us today to talk about the necessity of recognizing those that bring dignity and honor to the history and culture of Black people. So welcome, and thank you for joining today on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show, Mary Swope.
Good morning.
Yes, it's a great morning. Yes, it is. Well, you have a very rich history as one who is a longtime community organizer of such events. And it's important for young people to be introduced to the people who are making a difference in their lives. They don't always hear about it in school. They don't always get a chance to meet these people. And so your events really help to introduce those heroes and sheroes among us that are having a powerful impact. So give us some insight on what motivated you, first of all, to start the Mahogany Heritage Foundation. Go right ahead. Mary, you with us?
Okay, I didn't hear you.
Saying what motivated you to start the Mahogany Heritage Foundation?
Well, the Mahogany Heritage Foundation derived from some of my past history. I was president of the national, not the National Association of Club Women, but we were affiliate. Before moving to Chicago, I was president of the Sig Tri High. So my role models and sheroes gave me that insight, gave me that feeling of understanding who we were as a heritage. We are America. We not only possess great wisdom and understanding. We were great inventors. But when I start learning about, I think the main thing that really got to me was when I realized how I was not so proud of my grandfather, who was a sharecropper. So when I understood the understanding of what it means, and that's what I think young people have to understand. You have to understand where you come from. You have to be proud of where you come from. And that gives you that motivation, that inspiration that's needed. We as people need to be inspired and be proud of our heritage. American history is our history. I mean, when we realize that we are part of great African kings and queens, that's part of our history. That's empowering for young people to understand and to understand why Carter Woodson felt the need to initiate Black History Month. But although Black History Month is every month, when we are proud of being Black, being proud of our ancestors, then we ourselves can become motivated to be whatever we want to be in life. And that's so important for young people. I really, you know, this morning, to God be the glory that I was able to see the vision to work with young people to raise their state of consciousness, to be proud, to have a better understanding and a love. I know she mentioned this program is about love. And we as people need to love each other. We need to embrace each other, lift each other up, not put each other down. And we can do that when we understand the meaning of being proud to be African American. The Black Heritage Award not only deal with the United States, but we deal with, it's international. We have several honorees from Nigeria, Ghana. We have honored Nelson Mandela in the past from South Africa. We have acknowledged Rosa Parks and presented her with the award. I am just so proud to be part and have the vision that God has given me to embark on, not an easy endeavor, but it is indeed an endeavor. And I went to Nigeria and awarded, at that time we were special guests of the governor of Nigeria at that time, who's now the president. So at that time we were presented with the key to Lagos, Nigeria. So the Black Heritage has been out here a long time. This will be our 26th year. We will be doing a comeback. When I got ill and also COVID, during COVID time, we did not present it. So we're coming back this year with the 26th year.
Oh, well, that is fantastic. And, you know, you've mentioned something that I think is a key realization. A lot of us learn to be ashamed of the heritage that we have because our parents, our foreparents, many of them came from humble beginnings. They may have been sharecroppers or, you know, lived on a very modest farm or were not especially prominent. And so we need to value the struggle and the triumph of our foreparents. Now, we are showing some of the photographs of some of those that you have honored. And it's amazing that you've been able to gather these people together to share a common triumph and struggle. What made you decide to take it beyond America to honor those people in Africa as well?
Well, once again, myself, when I became aware of the importance and the achievements of our great leaders, some known, some unknown. But that motivated me to want to learn more and more. The more I learned about my great heritage, the more I became empowered, and I then organized images and would bring young people together in workshops for them to have a better understanding. They had to learn about great leaders like Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Madam C.J. Walker, Frederick Douglass, and especially Carter Woodson, who in schools they never mentioned him during Black History Month, and he's the founder of Black History. So once again, with that particular type of program, I saw that young people became so empowered, and they, whether they were talented or not, it brought out unseen talents within them. It brought out abilities that they never even thought they had. So when you can get a better understanding and be proud, that's the secret, to be proud of your past, not feel ashamed of your past. And I know that most people know in the past, a lot of times your parents didn't tell you about their past. Your grandparents, they really never discussed it. So if you were not exposed, and the school really didn't expose you to that many African Americans who had excelled, you didn't learn the history of what they did. So when you can study and learn a little about the meaning and why they did what they did and how it impact us today, we are benefiting from the ones who had to, they could not vote, but yet and still they was able to march on and until they were able to vote. That type of drive needs to be existed today. if young people could get that type of integrity, that type of drive to want to be promote and be equal to everyone, because we are equal to everyone. And to understand when you're equal to everyone else, no one can put you down. And that's what young people get when they really get a true understanding of their past, is to be proud and not ashamed.
Absolutely. That is a critical thing for us to remove the feelings of shame that our young people often grow up with, especially because the images that they see tend to be the most negative images of all. And if you talk to many young people, their beliefs is that they come from people who've done nothing, especially if their own personal family has had struggles.
Right.
So that's a critical thing for us to remove that of shame. And if you just tuned in, we're talking to Mary Swopes, founder of the Mahogany Heritage Foundation. And this Sunday will be another fabulous event, the 26th annual celebration of the Black Heritage Awards. And this will be held this Sunday, April 28th, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Chicago History Museum, 1601 North Clark Street in Chicago. And the event, of course, sponsored by the Mahogany Heritage Foundation, will honor some outstanding leaders. Now, Congressman Danny Davis, you say, has been the honorary chairman of the event over the past years. How did you get him involved?
Yes, he has been honorary chair for at least 10 years, along with the past Consul General of Liberia, who passed away a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be honoring him and his contribution from Liberia to America. And we will be presenting the Alexander Gbe Lifetime Achievement Legacy Award to Quentin D. Alexander.
Oh, that is fabulous.
Who is now doing some fabulous, some great work in Liberia.
Yes. Well, we're looking forward to that, most definitely. And I think it's always significant when we can make that connection, because this is a global issue of our restoration of our dignity, honor, and respect. And so grateful to our brother, Dr. Quentin, Chief Tamba Taylor, D. Alexander, who's been doing some work there in Liberia, uplifting the schools, uplifting youth, providing a lot of charitable work to organizations there in Liberia. And Liberia has a very unique history and connection to American, those Africans who came to America without their desire to come, forcibly came, but also made an effort to go back and reestablish themselves,
yes,
in the homeland.
Yes.
And so how did you get connected to Liberia, to the, you know, to the officials there, and, you know, involved in some of the history that Liberia presents to Americans, especially those who, some of them who have resettled there and made it their home?
Well, like I stated before, the consulate of Liberia to Chicago started working with the Black Heritage over 10 years ago. And also we had the ambassador, Amamu, out of Ghana. So during that time, we had the Ghanaians, we had, like I stated, the Liberians, and also we had a very good relationship who really supported the Black heritage from the beginning. He also passed away. And so we had Nigeria, it was Ghanaians, it was also from Rwanda. We have given award to a couple people out of Rwanda. We had the former, I can't think of his name this early morning, so forgive me, but he was the one that they did the movie, you know, who was able to save thousands of people during the genocide. And
the Hotel Rwanda.
He flew into Chicago. In fact, we presented him with the award at Mart Plaza quite a while. I think it probably was over 10 years ago.
Yes. I think that was...
So I was really honored to be able to... It was really an honor to be able to work with the various ones, the dignitaries, the consulate generals out of different countries, and that they supported the Black Heritage Award. And so to me, once again, that was just such an honor. And to just work with them, it was, now I remember, I forgot his name, but that was Ambassador Amamu out of Ghana.
Yeah, I recall that. And, you know, there are many things that happen in Africa that we don't hear about, and we don't get a chance to talk to the people. So your connection is very valuable in helping us to bridge the gap. Things from the people as opposed to the filter of the news media and the networks who always have a different spin on things. So anytime we can connect person to person, it's very valuable. Our desire is always for us to heal the pain, the hurt, the damage of our experience here in America, and for us to understand what happened on the continent and what continues to happen, so that we can build a foundation of peace. That's our goal. And you've done an excellent job in bringing together various elements. You're honoring the publisher of the Africa USA Today magazine. Africa, yes. And I think, of course, Brother Omowale Idris does an excellent job of giving us some insight about Africa that we don't always get to have here in America. One thing that I've discovered from traveling is that there's always another story that you don't hear, that you're not going to hear unless you actually go there. So
right.
We appreciate
right.
those
it's
who bring that.
It's been really an honor working with the Africa Today magazine. I was working with them. In fact, I began working with the Africa Today magazine from the beginning, from the inception of the magazine, and I have worked with him throughout the years to help the magazine grow. In fact, it's evolving now. For years, you know, it was just a dream. It was just something that he really wanted to do here in America, and he was able to do that. And he's also will be one of the recipients for the Black Heritage Award on Sunday for his work, for his dedication, and his drive to, because it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy throughout the years. He did not have sponsorships, and a lot of times, like even with the Black Heritage Award for years, you know, we presented the award, but yet and still, and we had the people that were so worthy of it, but yet it still we didn't really have sponsors. So it was, you know, you had to be dedicated and wanted to really acknowledge African-American people within the city and around the globe who perpetuated the dignity and the depth of our Black heritage. So that was really the meaning behind it. And to be able to honor people like Dr. Quentin D. Alexander, who I started working with him at 19 years old. He got the opportunity to receive the Fred Hampton Image Award at that time because I did pageants, Mahogany USA pageants, 30 years. And he was only 19 years old at the time, and he was able to put together. And the reason I say put together, because he was young. He was only 19, and he was able to assist us with the Black heritage at that time in the Mahogany pageant. And he designed the costumes for the contestants. So I think, and that I think.
He's a prodigy, huh? Started young in the design business.
Yes.
Yes. So you all have been.
So we go back
going
that
way
far. He's 19 years old.
Wow. Well, that is amazing.
And we have,
and, you know,
we will be, as our host, working with myself and Congressman Danny Davis, is Dr. Felice Binion, who is president of the West Side Ministers Coalition. She worked with me and became Miss Mahogany at 18 years old, and I've been working with her throughout the years, and even after her daughter became 10 years old, she brought her daughter to me, and her daughter is a vocalist. At that time, she was 10 years old. I said, you know, all mothers thinking that their child is talented, right? But she ended up becoming a very talented young lady. In fact, she would be doing the Black National Anthem to open up the Black Heritage Award. So she's grown now. And then Charlena Griggs, who is president of Sparkle, Organization for Women, is another protege. She, I think I was started working with her when she was like 19 years old. So I have worked with a lot of these young people throughout the years and have had the opportunity to mentor them and watch them grow. So they all are now entrepreneurs and great community leaders.
Wow. Well, that
so to
is
God be the glory once again.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Well, we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about some more of this year's honorees that you have. We've been showing our audience some of the people that you've honored in the past. Of course, Bishop T.D. Jakes. You have honored reporter Harry Porterfield. And you also have honored, we'll talk about some of this year's honorees, the King family, of course, Martin Luther King III, as well as Dr. Bernice King, and some of those that you are highlighting. And we'll talk about what goes into the decision to select the honorees that you introduced to us at the Mahogany Heritage Foundation Black Heritage Awards. So we'll be right back. After this quick break, you're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. We've got some callers on the line. Of course, we want to hear from our co-host, Kareem and me, get some of your thoughts. And we'll take calls right after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So just stay with us.
What is American Muslim 360, you ask? It's hard-hitting.
You don't have any peace, and our people have been tricked that if you've got money, which really is an artificial measure of wealth, wealth is more than just how much capital you have accumulated, We know that money is just a medium of exchange, man-made, and it can change and has changed. Grown men, I don't carry cash. You're an idiot.
Informative.
The federal government now spends more than $500 billion a year
or roughly 14% of the federal budget on doing business in the private sector with contractors. In addition, contract goals are established for women-owned businesses and small disadvantaged businesses, which is another name for minority or black-owned businesses.
Your health and well-being.
I want to talk about high blood pressure one more time today. Especially in our community, high blood pressure is so prevalent. It is a silent killer, and usually there are no symptoms at all. And if we don't really take care of ourselves, it's bound to get out from under us in an unexpected moment.
Alucard Ann.
So in that regard, it's also said in Quran that it is the best of time to pray, and it is during this time in your reading of Quran that it will be a witness for you. So if you can imagine that if we are reading Quran during this time, that it will be a witness for us.
So to answer your question, American Muslim 360 is well-rounded. It's all about the people. And it's all about the deen. And that's why we are the number one Islamic blog talk radio station in all of America.
And be a part of the movement for world peace.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360. Where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
And we are back, Naima.
So if you got, all right, fantastic. So if you are on the switchboard.
I have a call here on the AM360 board.
All righty, we'll take your call and then we'll go to 727-731 after that. Oh, no, we don't need that one. Okay, yes, we'll go to your caller. Yes, go right ahead.
Erico 727-408. Oh, welcome to the Female Solution.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Bilal from New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm working with Sister Nala on doing things with Muslim Journal, and I would like for the sister to give me information about the magazine. I imagine there's something that could be done, whether it's articles or whatever, with a Muslim Journal. So I would like to get that information on the magazine and how Nala could contact her and get something going on in that arena.
So I think you're talking about the Africa USA Today magazine. The publisher is from the name Olawale Idris. What I will do, I'll look at it before the end of the show so I can connect you directly to his website and you can contact him. And perhaps, you know, like you say, do some collaborations and trade articles and so forth so that we can get the global perspective that we're looking for. So,
okay,
great
that's
idea.
Good. That's good.
Yes.
All righty, then.
Yeah.
I'm on the show. Make sure we get now to get that information.
Yes, sir. I will look that up, and we'll get that to you.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks very much.
So, yes, and thank you so
thank
much
you
for calling.
Thank you.
Salam. So, Mary, tell us some of the other honorees that you have for this year's event. You know, you've picked an outstanding group of people to remind us of the wonderful work that they're doing, and we want to make sure that those people who do not know the greatness of these people, they're made aware of it. What went into this year's selection? And we'll pull up the flyer here on screen. But what went into the selection this year of some of your honorees?
Well, like always, we focus on those individuals in education. We promote and celebrate our Black heritage, honor achievements of those great leaders. And if you noticed, a lot of times throughout the years, the leaders have been more legendary leaders. We focus on those individuals who have for years been able to work in their communities globally, nationally, and just within their own communities. And so we look and we have always admire the ones who have had longevity, not just, you know, you have a dream, you have a vision, you go and you do some great work. But then there are other leaders who have done great work throughout the years, year after year after year. So we kind of reflect back and then we move forward, inspiring the young people of the ones that's right there around them that they may not even know of. A lot of times people don't even know of our heritage, the great leaders who have, like Carter Woodson. In schools, they don't really focus on who really established the Black History Month. A lot of times they don't focus on the women that established Women History Month. And one of the honorees, we're honoring the National Council of Negro Women. And that organization, Mary McLeod Bethune, established that years and years ago after establishing her school. And they are carrying on that work throughout the country. Organizations all across the country every year focus on National Negro History Month. They focus on women's empowerment, just like the National Council of Negro Women, who have different clubs across the country. And those women have brought dignity and to young people. And the young people who have worked within those organizations, you'd be surprised that they all strive for great achievement and accomplishments. So we kind of look at that. We look at the president, Dr. Ramona Jones, will be one of the recipients. And she's the president of the National Council of Negro Women, the section here in Chicago.
That is
kind of our focus, and that's how we make the decision, is on those individuals who are carrying on the work of the great leaders of the past, and they're paving the way for the young people here of the future. We make the decision on ones who, what I call going that extra mile, people, you know, who have like Jesse Jackson, people like Dr. Burroughs, Margaret Burroughs, those within people out of Chicago. And then we don't just stop at the people out of Chicago. Our goal is to look at people worldwide who's doing things as Black leaders all over the world.
Yes.
Yes, so we're a small organization, but our vision has been very deep, very deep and sincere about our mission and goals to reach out and identify those individuals, because once again, the more the young people learn about people of the past and people of the present who still carrying on the great work and striving for new endeavors and new achievements just to uplift our people.
Yes. Well, you've honored Congresswoman Maxine Waters.
Yeah, Congressman Maxine Waters, powerful woman. She's originally from my area. I'm originally from Alton outside of St. Louis, Missouri. She was originally from St. Louis, Missouri. So we presented the Black heritage in St. Louis, where we had so many great leaders around that area. Socialite Merdeen Fielden, who was really a powerful figure in St. Louis. She worked with the Martin Luther King Center. She also was a socialite and worked with pageants. She did the teen pageant around the country, and she worked with gospel legend.
Yes, Miss Stokes?
Yes.
This is Kareem Hamid, and I live in St. Louis, and I'm I'm grateful that you acknowledge Merlin Fielding, a wonderful woman, great accomplishment, and a beautiful heart. Praise be to Almighty God.
Worked with the Bobby Jones Show for years.
Yes, yes, yes. Also, there's a...
Well, you know, Jackie Joyner Kersee is out of East St. Louis. I awarded her the same time I did Congressman Maxine Waters and Merdeen Fielden, Lacey Clay, who was a congressman at that time in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So all those were part of my St. Louis recipients.
Are you aware...
And this year we will be honoring the first... If you're from St. Louis, you probably know Alton, Illinois, which is 30 miles away, has its first African-American mayor, and he is his name is Mayor David Goins, who will be here in Chicago being honored for the first African-American mayor of Alton, Illinois.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Wonderful.
That is excellent. You know, there are a lot of people that we don't even realize are government leaders, because, you know, those aren't usually the ones considered celebrities. And that's why it's so important that you're honoring people who are doing the work. What our children tend to get exposed to are the celebrities that are considered the athletes, the singers, the dancers. And I'm not saying that that's not an important part of our culture, but leadership needs to be honored more and recognized more so that our children can get a balanced view of what is important in terms of value. And that's why what you're doing is so important for our young people to be exposed to, so they can see these are the people who are changing lives. Yes, we admire the singers, the dancers, the actors, the ball players. We admire them. And, you know, sometimes they do some philanthropic work with the money that they earn. But the people who are making policy decisions, people who are developing educational programs, these are people who are changing lives and impacting the future. And so they are the heroes and heroes, as they say, who our children should be admiring and seeking to emulate.
That's right. That's right. And that's what makes a difference. I think a lot of times in the success of young people is that who they identify with. A lot of times, like you stated, you know, the great entertainers is that's great. The athletes, that's great, but they still need to know the leaders in education, the leaders that, and I didn't mention her name, Dorothy Hyatt, who took on the role after Madam Bethune. So Dorothy Hyatt for years carried on that National Council of Negro Women for years. And so it's so many women throughout the communities as part of those groups. And believe it or not, it makes a difference. At 19 years old, I am just so honored and proud. And I will state that I think that did make a difference in my mindset to want to indulge in promoting the heritage, because those women from those organizations at that time, a lot of young African American ladies, they didn't know the ins and outs of being proud, having the dignity, having the elegance, having staying steadfast to being a great person, you know, instilling those attributes within yourself. And that's what those women did. When I think about today, there's nothing wrong with being able to have a good time and drink and all that. But those ladies, very young, they didn't allow us, even in our, we would do events, but we could not even have nothing but punch. And I mean, that sound, you know, like, okay, you know, I guess right now it sound kind of silly that all you was able to have was punch. But, you know, but what it did was it's the mindset behind it. They made you want to always be the best, always strive for excellence, always want to do better, be proud of where you come from, being proud of the people like Madam C.J. Walker, being proud of Dorothy Hyatt, her work. When I got in the organization at 19 years old, the thing that really got me and one of my favorite heroes was Harriet Tubman. When times get rough, and doing things you do throughout the years to do the things that I do with the heritage and really not having that support, but having that vision. And what I feel that was my assignment was to inspire the other young people that comes after me. So I think that that just means a lot, because I think the different women across the country will tell you that who have been part of those great organizations. When I found out once again that Harriet Tubman was one of the founders of the National Council, the National Association of Club Women. So you have the National Association of Club Women and you have the National Council of Negro Women. I have awarded both. I awarded the National Association of Club Women and not in 2016, and she has since passed. But she was out of Indiana, and a fabulous great leader who really was following in the footsteps of Mary Church Terrell, who also founded the National Association along with Harriet Tubman. So it was just an honor to get you know, better understanding and see those women and see the work that they put in. And I always say, you know, I'm tired of being tired, Fannie Lou Hamer. Those women, when you get tired and think that, you know, things is going rough, think about those women. When you think about those great women and what they endured, that gives you strength.
Yes. Well, it takes a lot of endurance, definitely. Yes.
So
well,
that
you know,
is really how I decide on the honorees. I deal with the ones who have made an impact through their dedication throughout the years. I look at the years that they have put in, who just passed away. We have, even in Chicago, I honored Tony Dr. Preckwinkle, Karen Yarbrough, who just passed away, and we all are saddened by her death. And I just feel great that we had included her in our honorees years ago. The year I honored her, I also honored Reverend Willie Barrow, who worked with Jesse Jackson. Those were great women. They were great leaders. Absolutely. And so if we can just continue and instilling the history and the young people, I think it would make a difference. Some people, dealing with what you stated earlier, what your show is all about, it's about love. It's about coming together. It's globally. United we stand and divided we fall. I also, for 20 years, I established the Women Unity Forum. So once a month, I would bring women together. And I think I've had you on my forum before, but that was to empower women.
Yes. I said, I'm sure I was back when I was young. I'm still young. No time has passed. But yeah, you've been
so
doing
that's
this
why
for
you're
decades.
Doing. That's why you're now doing great work.
Well, you know, when you start early, then all you can do is build momentum over time. So you've been doing this for decades, and I'm looking at all the different people that you've honored over the years, historic people, people who are legendary now. So now I know it's a challenge putting an idea into motion, especially if, you know, you have people who would provide financial backing, but first they want to see you do it first. So how did you get that first seed money to do the first award? Did you finance it yourself? Did you have a few people say, look,
I financed it myself. When I say that, not that I had money myself, it was that when I decided to do it, I think the first one was Pop Staples. I had been commissioned by Pop Staples to present Pop Staples Day. That was, I think, 1989. And after I did Pop Staples Day, and then I presented his award after I did that. In fact, you know, that assignment, that, you know, to do that when Pop Staples, before he passed, when we presented his day, I went and contacted the people from Drew, Mississippi, where Pop Staples was from, and they came to Chicago. I had them to come to Chicago to present him with the award. He was the first year, the Black Heritage 1989 Pop Staples of the Staples Singers was the awarded for that year. And I contacted the Chamber of Commerce. And after that, I was able to initiate that they renamed the part and set up a festival in honor of Pop Staples.
Wow.
And it's just something I felt I had to do. You know, he just thought we was going to just do a little, you know, just a little anniversary and a little dinner. But because of my drive for acknowledging our history, I had to go further, and that's when I contacted Drew, Mississippi, and told them what we were doing here in Chicago to honor Pop Staples. And they participated once again and came to Chicago and worked with us with that. And it was at, I never will forget, because Pop Staples was a very good friend of the Leak family. And so this year we're honoring Spencer Leak, Pop Staples the father was a very good friend, and he served that on as one of the dignitaries at the event. And at that time, I think the mayor of Chicago, it was after Harold Washington passed. So all of them were there at the Pop Staples dinner. That was one of the great contributions that I could make to Pop Staples and to take it to that level. And I need to check now to see if they still carrying on his day down in Drew, Mississippi, his hometown.
Drew, Mississippi. Ah. Wow. Yeah, a lot of talent came out of the South. And
a lot of talent came out of the South.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of those singers, they were, in a real sense, the voice of our struggle. We know that in the, especially in the 70s,
right,
there was a lot of upheaval. And so these were the songs that actually expressed the movement. And I remember the Staple Singers being one of those groups that we would see them at the rallies and so forth. And remember the song Respect Yourself? that was a great theme song. So we've got Pop Staples here up on the screen for those who may be too young to remember. And I think that's why the Heritage Awards are important. It's an important event to chronicle history for those who may have just been born within the last few decades. They missed a lot of this. And as people transition, you know, we don't get a chance to meet them personally, but
their work goes on.
Yes, I'm sorry, what was that again?
Their work goes on, and when you're speaking of music, who better than Motown? Motown,
absolutely.
At that time, the songs were about love. The songs were, they were uplifting. For young ladies, you have a lot of the older women would tell you that who is really leaders themselves now. So they were influenced by the music of people like Diana Ross. I know I was. I know I was one of the ones like,
yes,
Oprah Winfrey who stated that Diana Ross was one of their role models, and she exuberated that love and you know through her music. And
yeah,
we understood the music. And not that we're putting
yeah
the music down now, because one of the Black Heritage, the youngest, I had two youngest Black Heritage Award youth that received the award. And by the way, the Black Heritage Youth Expo will be coming up in June. So we do the Youth Expo as well as the regular Black Heritage Award, because that's to bring the youth together and to acknowledge their achievements in the different schools and churches.
Oh, well, that is fabulous. We got to take one last break. I don't want to wear your voice out too much, but if you can stay with us for a few more minutes after the break, I think we've got a few more callers on the line. And if you would like to attend, of course, this is this Sunday, April 28th, 2024. That's 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Chicago History Museum, which for those who do not know where that is in Chicago, you can find the Chicago History Museum at 1601 North Clark Street. And this is an opportunity to honor those among us, both past and present, that are making a difference. And we'll talk more about some of this year's honorees and where can people go if they want to purchase tickets? Is there a website address that they can go to or a number they can call if they want to get tickets?
Yes, the number that they can call is 312-618-0107.
Okay, well,
312-618-0107 for tickets.
All right. Well, I will put that number on the screen, and encourage all of you, because this is definitely something that it preserves history and honors those that are making history as we speak. So we'll be right back after this quick break. We want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just a moment. So stay with us.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dupreeta Hadi, Director for the MCNRD, Model Community National Resource Directory. With the MCNRD four-step process to becoming a CWSC volunteer. Number one, go to cwsc.us. Number two, click the MCNRD tab. Number three, register as an individual or organization, nonprofit or for-profit. Number four, thank Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are now a CWSC volunteer in the MCNRD directory, the Model Community National Resource Directory. Thank you so kindly, and assalamu alaikum. Bye-bye.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
The Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC, is established as a national resource and community service center supporting the Quranic principle of representative democracy or mutual consultation, Amrahum Shura Bainahum, in the conduct of community affairs. CWSC recognizes that only through Shura can the power of the group intellect be fully utilized for solving problems and discovering opportunities that help each of us improve our individual, family, and community life. From Quran, with Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, Merciful Redeemer, so whatever you are given is but a provision of this world's life, and that which Allah has is better and more lasting for those who believe and rely on their Lord, and those who respond to their Lord and keep up prayer, and whose affairs are decided by counsel among themselves. Truly, Almighty God speaks the truth. That's the noble and glorious Quran, Surah Ash-Shura, 42, 36 through 38.
Founder of the Mahogany Heritage Foundation, and they're honoring some wonderful leaders at the upcoming 26th annual celebration this Sunday, April 28th. And the event starts at 5 p.m. I believe there's a VIP reception. And then, of course, after the reception, you're going to see some wonderful honorees locally, nationally, internationally. These are people who are making a difference in the lives of people all across the world with the work that they're doing, and they're being honored today. pardon me. We're honoring the one that's honoring them today, Miss Mary Swopes, who's been a long time activist in recognizing those who are making a difference. Starting out at 19 years old, you've been working at it, sister. You've been working. that is fabulous. Well, let's go to our phone line and open the mic for area code 334-895. Thank you for joining us. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments.
Well, top of the morning, and praise God, praise Mother God, and praise Father God. Thank you, thank you, thank you for another day. Peace and blessings to you, Sister Naima, Harriet Tubman, Latif, and Mother Mary. It is a pleasure listening to your dedication to preserving history. And I love the name. This is Brother Neil, also known as the Shy Apostle, because I'm a shy person, but Shytown Apostle. I wanted to say, Mother Mary, I love the name Mahogany also, because I'm hesitant to say, because I want to talk about history. That's my topic. That's my intent. But I want to say that I hesitate sometimes to use the word black, because that's part of the history. Smart sisters like you and Naima really need to address this grammatically, because it takes an English grammarian and write Webster and write those folks who write the dictionary, because the definition of black is so negative. It says evil. It says without joy, without void of joy. That's the definition of black in the dictionary. When people who don't know about black culture, they look that up, other people from other. So we need to address that from a historic standpoint, because the importance of our history and sharing that, and especially the mahogany melanated history and what we've been through in the last recent 200, 300, 400, 500 years, it's so important to connect that history and the struggle of our ancestors of what they went through to get us here. And it's so important what you're doing, Sister Mary, Mother Mary, is honoring them. Because unfortunately, in the black diaspora, in our culture, in our HBCUs, in our culture period, we've been negligent in honoring our black people and our ancestors who have made the way. And when you talk about a lot of talented people coming from the South, in the black diaspora, in this country, period, some of the greatest of your athletes and some of your greatest people, period. And I'm talking about like when they say like Mike and the greatest folks and the greatest at this sport or the greatest at that sport or the greatest at this or some of our leaders and our Dr. King's and the list goes on are from the South. Says something about that Southern breeding and that Bible belt, I guess, that God in them that came from the South that really stand out in our culture. And the civil rights movement, of course, the freedom and equality started right here in the South. But in the old hating, where the Civil War started, right in Alabama. Where they thought it would never be started, which is the last place it would be started, where they vowed segregation now and segregation forever. So therefore, that spirit of those who have made the way, we definitely need to honor those people, those Ida B. Wells, you know, Fannie Lou Hamer, and all those who really actually shed blood and risked their lives and lost, and a lot of them lost their lives and were on the front lines to make a difference for equality for those melanated people in our country. So Mary, Sister Mary, Mother Mary, may God continue to bless you with what you're doing. And as you paid it for when Naima was young, you see the benefits of investing in our youth and investing in our youth and teaching them the way and giving them a role model and example of how to pay it forward. And Naima is continuing to do that and sharing that love and beauty and knowledge that you honored her and was teaching her when you were much younger. So may God continue to bless you with that beautiful spirit, and may you continue to pass that knowledge on. And I would definitely appreciate the opportunity to have a conversation with you in the future. So continue peace and blessings and God is great. As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brother Neil MacArthur from Alabama. We appreciate you so much for all that you do. And this is a chance for us.
M360 switchboard, whenever you're comfortable.
Yes, let's go to another caller. You know, this is an opportunity for us to really set an example for the kinds of events that we should put together so that those who labor among us can feel appreciated. Yes, let's go to our caller on the AM360 board. Go right ahead.
Erica, 724-866. Please take your name or your card from, please. Your mic is open. Take your phone off of mute. Okay, they're not responding, Naima. We'll move forward.
Okay. Well, all righty. And when you call in, you got to pay attention, y'all, because we open your mic and you're distracted doing something else, we might not get back to you. So pay attention. Yes. But yeah.
We have another caller now.
Okay. Yes. Well, let's open the mic for that caller. Oh, we've got another caller on our switchboard for that one.
Try the previous caller. Maybe they came back to the phone. Erico 724-866.
You don't
want to do what? Okay, well, we'll move forward. Brother Bilal that spoke earlier, 727-408.
I'm Bilal. Assalamu alaikum. I just want to remind Naima to give me that I need to get that information. Knowledge, she was listening and be very excited about making that connection. Also, I wanted to put that back out there. All righty.
Oh, well, thank you so much for the reminder. We'll make sure we do that.
All righty, then.
Yes.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Wa alaykum as-salam. And I will open the mic for 773-977. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment for our guest, Mary Quilt. Go right ahead.
Well, good morning to all. This is Lois here in Chicago, Illinois. I have just been so happy to hear Ms. Stokes doing such a wonderful, wonderful adventure for our people. I can remember the Staple Singers when I was a little girl. We used to all wear socks on Sundays, and along with the Emotions, who's now they were the Heavenly Sunbeam Singers. We used to all sing at the L. Abrams Pontiac every Sunday morning about 6 o'clock. With the Staple Singers and Pop Staples and Joe Hutchison and my dad, James Trapp, they all were just together beautifully organizing us as children to sing. And I learned to sing really from Mavis Staples, that song, If I Had a Hammer. And so I just thank the Stokes today for taking the time to acknowledge Mrs. Staples and the rest of the people, and thank God for all of you all. This is Lois in Chicago. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Lois.
Thank
in
you.
Chicago. Yes. Yes. You know the Staples Singers, that they were the voice of the movement back in the day. So they definitely are worth honor, recognition. So, and speaking of those, you have another caller?
No, I just wanted to share the another very influential entertainment group, the Impressions, Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions. Their songs were songs of liberation. We have to keep on pushing. I wanted to acknowledge them.
Yes. Yeah.
And Aretha Franklin, too, with her song, A Natural Woman. Very, very, very insightful song, A Natural Woman. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, you know, when I think about that, because, you know, we watch the Grammy Awards and everything, and a lot of times the singers and songwriters and performers who sold the most records, they tend to get the recognition. And, you know, I can remember some years, and I'm not knocking anybody's music, but I remember the year the song Shake, 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 Shake Your Booty won the award. I'm like, okay, how edifying and uplifting was that? And I'm not knocking people, you know, hey, we all like to dance, but, you know, maybe it's just me. I just kind of think there needs to be some standards as to what we are highlighting and awarding. Sometimes, you know, you think songs that say something, I would think, are more important than the song that created the greatest dance craze. I mean, I'm not saying that music shouldn't be fun, but I don't know, Mary, what are your thoughts on that? You know, as you look at various singers that you've honored, various performers that you've honored, do you think in terms of a certain standard that you would think is worthy of honor when it comes to our entertainers? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a prerequisite. We look at entertainers that that not knocking anyone else, you know, music is music. But my focus has been on, and that comes derived from, once again, the background of the great leaders who paved the way for us, and they displayed honesty and dignity. And when I listen to the music of pop staples, Aretha Franklin, I'm really, really sad that I wasn't able to, because I had her down. I wanted to award Aretha Franklin, and at the Black Heritage Award, we will be doing a special tribute to Whitney Houston for her beautiful music, for Aretha Franklin, who displayed, once again, dignity to mostly her music. And we could listen at the music, we could be inspired by the music, we could understand the music. It's very important that moral values is still, you know, when I have workshops, one thing the young people don't want to deal with because they have lack of understanding, when I say, okay, what about moral values? Well, we never heard of that. See, so that's what was instilled in us in the past, and we have to pass that on. I have a lot of young people that I work with now. My proteges are doing things, and I keep telling them, you got to carry on the work, you know, the work really implementing the concept of dignity and pride and being proud of who you are and promoting a positive dignity. And I think that's something that should go on, that we got from the National Council, once again, the National Association, and so many other. I'm not, you know, I said those two because I did a lot of work with the National Association, with the women all across the country. I work with the Federated Women, and those women, we strive for dignity. We strive for excellence. We strive for unity and love. What the world needs now, if I could sing, I would sing it to you. What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I really think that the songs that promote those kinds of themes are important to recognize. A few years ago, you know, there was just a rash of what they call drill music, you know, the rap songs that some kind of way incited a lot of violence. And there was a debate about certain artists that were being constantly promoted and praised publicly, even though the songs that they produced tended to motivate destructive behavior. So the ethical question came up about how important is it to sell records if what you're selling, to sell your music and your videos and all of that, if what you're producing in terms of your art and your craft is actually encouraging the worst of behavior. How are we honoring you if you're leading people astray, or at least encouraging the lowest expression of our culture with your songs and lyrics? So this is an ongoing debate that happens, especially when someone becomes very popular and maybe the lyrics that they're putting out there are not edifying. They're not based in uplifting our history or our social activism. You know, they're very even expressing sexuality in a very degenerating way. Not even a love song, but just really a very, very degrading kind of expression. And sometimes if those artists' songs are played and highlighted, they become very popular, and you see your little 2- and 3- and 4-year-olds singing lyrics that are very debasing. So, Mary,
correct.
Do you think that the artists, such as, you know, the kind of artists like the Staple Singers and Stevie Wonder, and, you know, those who were part of our movement, social activism, do you think they should say something about those artists who are perhaps taking us in the opposite direction? Or should it just be a, you know, live and let live, that's what you want to do, you know, free speech? What are your thoughts on that?
Are you asking my thoughts?
Yes, and of course, anybody wants to say anything, you know, press 1 if you're on a switchboard, if you have a thought you'd like to share. Or Kareem, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I know people don't like to downgrade anyone else that's in their field, and yet I tend to feel that some of the older artists that were around during the Civil Rights Movement, you know, the Black Empowerment Movement and all of that, I tend to think that they may have some level of responsibility to guide the younger artists and keep them from being misused, keep their craft from being misused, so that rather than them inspiring the best in us, they actually motivate the worst in us. I don't know. Are some of these older groups responsible to say something? I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes. If I'm not mistaken, it was this group. I think they were KRS-One. I'm not sure they were, but they released a record that was speaking to the artists coming up behind them, and in the phraseology, they said, "You are headed for self-destruction." You're headed for self-destruction. They were speaking to the young upcoming artists, and at the same time, there are positive artists, but if you are connected with a major record label, the positive music is not accepted nor distributed. If you're an artist on a major label, then you have to satisfy the powers that be, and they are the ones that are gearing the music toward self-destruction. Unless you have full control of your music and you know and your authorship and publishing, that is a dilemma. Yes, that's a dilemma.
Yeah. That is. And I know that's been one of the things that came out when we talk about people who created their own record labels and kind of broke away from the industry. I know that was a big deal. and even the issues that came when it comes to who's going to own the rights to your songs, how Prince had to actually stop using his name, and he came up with a symbol. He said, "Okay, fine. I can't. You want to own the rights to my name? Fine. I'm going to do business under something else that I own." And that was a big step toward independence. Very controversial. We know that Michael Jackson, a lot of controversial statements when he talked about racism in the industry. So these things, you know, we have very influential cultural creators, and we even see it now on YouTube, Facebook, and all of that. You can create content that influences thought. But the question becomes, what is the responsibility for those who create that content? Are they responsible for making sure that what they say, what they sing about, what they talk about is uplifting and in line with our goal as a people to restore ourselves to that greatness that we come from? So Mary, have you ever had perhaps someone that you honored that someone thought maybe they were too controversial or maybe even too political, or, you know, have you ever had an honoree that, and I know you've had some that are very vocal, like, of course, you know, people like the, Congressman Maxine Waters and others. Of course, Nelson Mandela was very controversial before he became president. But those that you have honored, have there ever been any political, I don't know, backlash, like if they were someone who was controversial in speaking out about things?
No, not I don't recall anyone that I honored that wasn't deserving of the honor. Now, as far as we understand the life of Nelson Mandela, and you might have had some who felt, but I don't think no one could have felt that he was not to be honored for his work and for the history of our global country. We have one person that is a little something, a little controversy going on pertaining to him. I don't choose to say his name at this time. During life's journey, a lot of times when you speak up and you're the kind you're fighting, you're a warrior, you're going to have conflict. You're going to have what I call negative confrontation, as well as we all know now that there is things that people say about people that's not true. And what's sad about this country at this point in time is that the truth should be the truth. And you cannot say something that's untrue, but yet and still you make it truth. And that's what we're facing right now. The truth is the truth. One and one is two. And I can't say it's six. So we have to now be very cautious about what people say sometimes, because once again, sometimes it's true and sometimes it's not. And I think that out of all the honorees, I the one from Rwanda, there was a conspiracy after they did the Hotel Rwanda. So a lot of times we have to be careful, special as African Americans, Black people, what you want to call us, we're everything to everybody. But what I'm trying to state is that you have to know that everything that's publicized is not the truth, because they can go against someone. People of power can go against someone and make something that's negative be the truth.
Absolutely.
And it's not.
That's true.
But I am proud. I think that I'm really careful about, because like I focus in on the ones who's making great positive achievements, ones who is inspiring leadership within the young people, whether it's education, whether it's politics. It's still, they focus on the positive aspect of it and not the negative. And those are the people I try to honor. And have
well,
always tried to honor.
Yes. And I think we should be more cautious when it comes to swallowing every negative thing that we hear about someone. I always look for, you know, when some bad news comes out about someone, my first thought is, who did they offend that has a position of power, or who are they threatening with their power, the reason why someone would choose to attack them? Because what's the point in attacking people? I mean, what purpose does it serve unless they're really hurting someone? So a lot of negative publicity, a lot of rumors, especially of a personal nature, I'm kind of like, I don't need to know about anybody's personal life. That ain't none of my business. But if they haven't harmed someone physically or stolen from someone or, you know, done some major egregious ethical thing, I don't need to respond to gossip. But a lot of people, when they reach a certain level of superstardom, they become targets for people who maybe either want to minimize their influence or
hold them back.
You know, so it's a financial thing. You know, they want to have more control over them financially. So we've got some comments here from our Facebook and YouTube viewers. Let's see. We have, all right, we've got a comment from Higher Learning Network. Zelda says, Grand Rising, she will be there. Thanks for sharing. Yes, so we've got the phone number on the screen for people to get tickets. And Deborah says, Grand Rising, congratulations, and thank you, Mary. Yes, thank you, Deborah, our third Saturday of the month host. Yes, so
Deborah Ross will
really
be one of the vocalists.
I'm sorry, who's one of the vocalists?
Deborah Ross.
Oh, Deborah Ross.
A classical gospel singer. Deborah
Ross.
Oh,
fantastic.
The legendary preacher, sax preacher, will be performing.
Yeah. Well, of course,
Sherry Withers from. Pardon.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherry Withers with the Whitney Houston tribute. I'll always love you.
Yeah, she does such a fabulous job with Whitney Houston. Yes. So for tickets to the Black Heritage Awards, call 312-618-0107. That's 312-618-0107. For those who are listening and not watching it on the screen, we've got it up on the screen there for you all to get your tickets. Of course, it's this Sunday, so you need to make that decision today. And you know, because you know how it is when we do our events, we have to make sure that we have a good count of who's going to be there. Make sure you put me on your press list, Mayor, because I'm going to do some interviews on that red carpet for those who are coming into a very elegant affair. And Deborah says, the Tennessee legislators passed a law allowing teachers to conceal carry in schools, but not prayers. I'm perplexed. Yes. That's. Thank you, Deborah. You know, that's another thing. The stuff that we are showing our children, and they're only mirroring what it is that we're showing them.
Right.
So I'm grateful when,
you know, awards programs like the Black Heritage Awards give young people a better view of where our country and our world needs to go. We're all about love, unity, respect. And so if our schools can't mirror those values, we need to create more independent institutions that do. And I think if I were a parent today, I would not be having my child in a public institution. They would either be homeschooled or, of course, I did have them go to a conscious institution, the Betty Shabazz International Charter School, where we've been teaching podcasting and giving those students a voice so that they could express higher consciousness. So, yes. Now, this is so, Mary, had you have your, because this is, you know, a historic event that you do every year, have you had groups of school children come or had, you know, maybe done group
sales? Oh, yes,
we
do. We also do the Black Heritage Youth Expo. Usually we, in the past, we did it like the entire weekend. Like we were doing the Black Heritage on Sunday, we would have had the youth on that Saturday. But this year, because we haven't had it since COVID and we're trying to come back, the Youth Expo will not be held until June. And I would like to say, as far as the Youth Expo and the Heritage, we recognize the young people. John Smith, who as a young person, I had the pleasure and honor of working with him for years. He passed away. Anyone who knows about photographers in the city of Chicago pretty much have heard of John Smith. So what we did as the Black Heritage Awards, I'm interacting and working with Chicago State University, where he graduated from, and we set up the John Smith Photography Scholarship, which will be acknowledged at the Black Heritage Award and presented at Chicago State University in the fall. And so the Youth Expo, once again, I can have further information. They can contact me pertaining to more information on the Youth Expo. We have acknowledged young people from different schools. In fact, I know that I'm still part of the history, so if some of the older ones probably remember, and the younger ones, I don't know if they remember, but one of my special proteges that I promoted at a very young age was Ayende Shamari Jean-Baptiste, and he was at 12 years old. He spoke at the Million Man March, and I gave him a special scholarship. Yes, I gave him a special scholarship. He was a guest at Nigeria, the lab school, the Danshima lab school in Nigeria. So I gave two youth the scholarship, and Zebediah Anderson, who just won a Grammy Award for his rap that he did with John Legend and Woman King. So I started working with him. He won the scholarship at 9 years old. Those were my two youngest ones that I presented scholarships at that age. And I'm so proud of their work, what they're trying to do now. I always get a little leery, you know, with the rapping, but I was proud to see Zebediah Anderson, who is called Verse, do the theme song for Woman King along with John Legend.
Oh, wow. Now, that's another thing. When you have young people to perform and they want to do spoken word, do you give them some kind of guidelines, like, okay, no cursing, no profanity, or no, I mean, or do you just say, okay, I'm going to trust that you know decent? I mean, cause, you know, they don't always know what's decent. So how do you handle that?
Right. I'm just more comfortable with the love songs. The love rapping.
Yeah, at least you know that's going to not cross the line. Yes, and of course, Zelda says, looks like this is the place to be. Looking forward to it. Yes, people, we want you all to be there on Sunday. That is this Sunday. And for the gentleman who wanted the information about the Africa USA Today magazine, I have that up on the screen as well. So you can
is an honoree for this year.
And he's one of the honorees for this year. So, yes. Africa USA Today magazine international, and you can go to the website at usafriglo@yahoo.com. That is the email, and you can also call 312-937-4508. Again, that number for USA Africa Magazine is 312-937-4508. Now, if you didn't write fast enough, you know all of our shows are in the archives on Blog Talk, so just play it back. Write it down. But, you know, and John Smith was one of the major graphic artists for USA, for Africa USA Today Magazine International. So, of course, it's wonderful that he's someone to be honored. You know, there are so many people who do some really fabulous work that make it possible for us to know what is who's doing what and how to get our message out. So one of the things, and I do love Africa USA Today Magazine International, because there is a very large African community here in America, recent immigrants, and we should be conscious of what is happening when it comes to immigrants receiving services, to make sure that the African immigrants don't get slighted when immigrants from other countries are getting services. Because we always have to make sure that there's not any unfairness. And I think it's good that our elected officials, such as the Congressman Danny Davis, you know, Congressman Jonathan Jackson, you know, people who are Congressman Robin Kelly, you know, people who are aware of the dynamics happening internationally, and they can address issues of sometimes inequality or favoritism toward one and neglect of another, because we're still trying to correct that here in this nation. So I know we're going to be leaving shortly, and we've got another caller. Let me open the mic for area code 708-724. Grand Rising, you're on with our guest, Mary Swope, of the Black Heritage Award coming up this Sunday. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment.
Yes, this is Lois again in Chicago. I was wondering, Ms. Stokes, is Mahalia Jackson included in this awards ceremony? She,
I was getting ready to reiterate about, we just finished with Women History Month, and we have for the 2024 Black Heritage Awards. We are proud that we have Dr. Ramona Jackson, president of the National Council of Negro Women, as one of the honorees. And with her, I'm sure some of the other great women that's part of that organization will be with her. And it is so important to have women organization, and we, the ones who don't know, Mary McLeod Bethune, Madam C.J. Walker, Madam Walker, founded that organization. Mary McLeod Bethune founded the organization, but it was carried on by Madam C.J. Walker. Not Madam C.J. Walker. I guess I'm getting a little tired this morning because dealing with so many past great people. But I did want to acknowledge that Dr. Ramona Jackson is an honoree for this year with as president of the National Council, National Negro Section.
I remember when Mahalia Jackson was singing. They wanted her to stop singing gospel and go to rock and roll or whatever, and she refused to do so. It was a big thing about Mahalia Jackson. So I just wanted to know if she was being honored in this situation. She never changed over, and then the emotions, well, they were called the emotions. They changed over from the I forgot the name of them. Anyway, they changed from the Heavenly Sunbeams, they changed over to the emotions, and then they started singing rock and roll, and then you never heard any more about them. But Mahalia never changed. She sang gospels up until the day she refused to change. But they wanted to produce her. I remember that conflict when I was a little girl. So I was just hoping that Mahalia is going to be mentioned in all this, too.
Oh, definitely. Okay. In fact, Deborah Ross will be doing something on Mahalia Jackson.
Great. I'll be
She'll
there.
She'll be doing that favorite here. Song of Mahalia Jackson.
I'll be there. Thank you.
Yes. And again, we've got on the screen here for tickets to the Black Heritage Awards. Call 312-618-0107. This Sunday, 5 to 9. Of course, you want to be there for the red carpet, VIP reception and everything. And we are looking forward to being part of the press there to give you some images and maybe a few words from some of our honorees. Who are some of the honorees that are going to be able to be there personally to accept their award? I know you have many that are outside of Chicago. Who are some of the honorees that are going to be able to be present to receive their awards?
Once again, Dr. Ramona E. Jackson, National Council of Negro Women, Spencer Leak. Dr. Quentin D. Alexander.
Yeah.
And of course, our mayor, Brandon Johnson, and the mayor of all, first African American mayor of Alton, Illinois, David Goins.
Wonderful.
And we have from Nigeria, the I Concept President, Ambassador Nuru Oluwapo.
Oh, yes.
Well,
she did a fabulous event last year, as a matter of fact, a wonderful event with Kings of Africa coming to America. Fabulous event at Malcolm X. I believe he'll be doing that again this year. So, yes, you know, I'm learning so much about the events happening globally, and it's wonderful when we can honor each other for the work we're doing at home and abroad. So I'm looking forward to the event. And, again, for tickets, and you might want to buy tickets for some children, you know, sponsor some young people, maybe some high schoolers, some college students, some people who maybe weren't alive during a lot of the historic things that happened, but they still need to know because especially people are still here, you know, you want to meet them while they're still on this side of the dirt. So,
well, you know, the most spirit will be performing. These are young people who want it so bad to be part of this Black history, and they're so excited, and these are some real young youth, and this is a dance troupe, and we are honored, and we welcome them because they said this is something that they can learn from. So we always put our youth first.
That is
so we're looking
important.
Forward to promoting the youth at the Black Heritage Award, and then in June, we will be awarding the Youth for the Black Youth Expo for their excellence in education in schools, for performing arts, for leadership ability. So please join us and support, help us continually support our youth. And once again, the Black National Anthem will be presented by Joy Brooks, who was Joy Binion Brooks, daughter of Dr. Binion, who was one of the hosts for the Black Heritage Awards, who started out when I was at 10 years old. Her first performance at 10 years old was for Congressman Danny K. Davis, program for inspiring youth.
That is fabulous. Well, congratulations, Mary Swopes, on another successful event in honoring our history, our culture, and our legacy. And we're looking forward to you all on Sunday. And that is, again, at the Chicago History Museum, 1601, that's 1601 North Clark Street in Chicago. And you need to get your ticket. Call 312-618-0107. We thank you so much.
And I just want to reiterate one last time, that we're so proud to Dorothy Hyatt to honor the National Negro Women co-founder after Madam Bethune was Dorothy Hyatt, who continually kept that organization afloat for years after years.
Dorothy Hyatt, a giant of a woman. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you. Thank you to my co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family. And join us tomorrow, of course.
Well, we have come to the end of the broadcast, The Female Solution. We're grateful for everyone's presence. What a wonderful show. Praise be to God.
blogtalkradio.com/the-female.
Honoring those that are yet living, that are doing excellent work, and the excellence that was displayed in our past history. Praise be to God. We came to you this morning with the greetings of peace. I leave you this morning with the greetings of peace in the Quranic Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May we purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, keep up our prayers, and remain forever grateful and forever thankful for what Almighty God has done for us, what he is doing for us, and what he shall do for us. The Creator asks of humanity this question: Fabi'ayyi ala'i rabbikuma tukadiban? Which of the two favors of your Lord will you deny? So let us remain grateful and thankful of Almighty God's mercy and grace and favors to us. We must remain thankful. I bring you the voice of Abdul Rahman Hatim. We got to be thankful.
Early in the morning, saying a prayer, seven fresh brewed coffee as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off to work I go. But I gotta be right, best that I can. Try and make a difference, 'cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends I've left forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy who lives down the street who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough and he tries to understand. He said, "Miss, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand?" Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, "You gotta be alright,
you gotta be alright,
you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
you gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife." Go back to colors, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright, they gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
they gotta be grateful for their lives and all.